Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Christy Miron. She is the principal of Sacred Heart Catholic School in Lawns. And also joining me is Eugenio Callejas. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, we have National Catholic Schools Week coming up, and I can't believe it's been a year, Christy, since the last time we sat and talked about it. When you contacted me, I said, well, it can't be a year already, but it really has been.
It really has been a year. Yep, we're coming back up on National Catholic Schools Week again at the end of January. It starts on January 29th and runs through February 4th.
Why do you do this?
National Catholic Schools Week is something, obviously, that is done on a national level, Catholic Schools Week across the country, just to celebrate what we do, to celebrate. It's kind of, I tell people it's like our Spirit Week, but we're really celebrating Catholic schools and what makes us a little bit different. And every day during the week, we focus on something different. So on Monday, we focus on our community, and we have activities that'll kind of focus on the community. We pray for the community in our morning prayer. Tuesday is celebrating our students. Wednesday, we celebrate our nation. On Thursday, we celebrate vocations. And then on Friday, we celebrate faculty, staff, and volunteers. So really recognizing all the pieces that help make us who we are.
As far as outreach or, you know, introducing yourselves to the community, how does that work?
It's interesting. People know that we're there. We're a small school, so the people in the Lawnsberg area are aware that we're there. But sometimes when I find myself going out into the communities around, the surrounding communities, I've run into people, oh, really? We have a Catholic school? I didn't think there were any more Catholic schools. And so part of my job has been getting that word out, and that's one of the reasons I'm really grateful for this opportunity to talk about our school and hit that wider audience.
That is interesting viewpoint that you would hear, because yes, I remember as, you know, a child going back, you know, 30 years ago, there were quite a few more Catholic schools. Times have changed and there's not as many. But the people that, and Eugenio being a parent that has children at this Sacred Heart Catholic School, you have to appreciate that at least this option still remains.
Yes, and we homeschooled our children for the first few years, and then we decided to take them to enroll them into Sacred Heart. So for us, it was either homeschooling or a good, strong Catholic school, which is what we have now in Lawns.
How old or what grades are your children in?
Fourth and second.
Okay. And the Sacred Heart School goes up to what grade?
We actually go through eighth grade now. We added eighth grade last year. So we have a small middle school class, which for some people is very attractive. We currently have two eighth graders and a seventh grader, and three sixth graders. And these are kids who have pretty much been in the school all along. We're hoping to grow that. We see a real need for it. Some of the parents of our younger students are saying, yes, we want to keep our kids here as long as we can.
Hmm. What attracted you?
Well, first and foremost, I think that, we're devout Catholics, and, you know, having a school that taught our values was pretty important. I had reservations before enrolling into public schools my children because of, just some of the faith issues involved and that are becoming a little more prominent now. Also, we wanted them to have a little bit, more of an education that we could kind of, mold ourselves a little bit and not be just kind of handed down from, some bureaucracy or something like that. We also valued, my wife and I both went to Ave Maria College when it was in Ypsilanti, which has now moved to Florida. And so we've really valued a strong liberal arts, curriculum, and to teach, the classics and more along that line of an education. And so we were doing that in our home with a few different programs like Charlotte Mason and things like that, that kind of took the student and gave a well-rounded education, meaning spiritual and also the academics. And so when we saw what was going on at the school, because the school has been going through a bit of a transformation in the last few years, we just kind of jumped at the opportunity. And I would say he's not here, but a big part of that has been, Father Corey, which
Absolutely.
Is our pastor. And, he's really taken the school on a spiritual journey. And, we have daily mass now. Well,
3 days a week.
3 days a mm-hmm. week. We have mass that the children, first thing they do when they come to school, they march over, to the church, and they have mass. And he's great with the kids. And, his homilies are usually you know, kind of geared towards them and connects with them. And that's been a huge, huge blessing in my family, just to have that exposure, my children to have that type of a spiritual exposure every day. You know, it envelops them at the school, which is amazing.
I went to a Christian college. It was Christian Liberal Arts College, if you can believe they can mix the two. But they did have church every day. It was just before lunch. There were no classes at that time. And unless you skipped off campus, you know, Brother, most of the people were there for the chapel service. And I want to say that, we're never going to see that in a public school setting, and a lot of people would be against it in the first place. But for personally, from my experience, going to school and having that part of the school day certainly wasn't a detriment. It was something that was positive. It was something that, you know, gave you a lot of strength and support, you know, just to get through the rest of the day. And of course, with, you know, the studies being at college level being as tough as they are. So I can imagine the same sort of benefits even with school children, you know, just having that being part of the day, part of, you know, of what is their normal school time. You're more than just a parent. You're involved in the school.
Yes, I'm part of the school council. I also taught one semester.
One semester last year.
Of in the middle school classes, I taught on the theology of the body, which is the Catholic perspective, Catholic teaching on human sexuality.
And you didn't continue, though?
No, not this year. We have five children. It became a little difficult trying to, run a family and run a business, so I haven't been able to go back. I enjoyed it a lot. It was fantastic, but I haven't been.
Well, and one of the things we do, because we have blended classrooms or multi-level classrooms, so last year he taught to the 7th and 8th graders, so both of those classes received that piece of the curriculum, so there was no need to repeat it this year. But now next year we'll put it back into place. Yet he doesn't know I'm going to ask him. He does now.
It's on record.
Christy, the parents that you meet that are, you know, they're looking for some sort of other option than the school system for the public school system for their kids, for whatever reason that they're dissatisfied with it, and they're considering the Catholic school as an option. What are the questions that they usually have?
And it's interesting because, you know, we are very clear that we're a Catholic school, but we also are very clear that we're open to people of all faiths. So, you know, we are not going to compromise our teachings, but we accept everybody. And we have a number of non-Catholic students in our school, and especially those parents, they are looking for something that is an alternative to public school education. They're looking for that faith-based aspect that we have that's integrated into our curriculum. They are looking for the values that we instill. You know, one of the things that we focus on all year long, and we're going to highlight during Catholic Schools Week, is virtues. You know, and so this during Catholic Schools Week, we're going to do a virtues chain where the students themselves can add links to the chain by recognizing good deeds performed by other students. So it's that peer recognition piece. Those are the things that parents are looking for. And we have parents who are looking for, you know, Eugenio touched on the fact that we are transitioning to a liberal arts curriculum. And that is something that's being done across the diocese. All 9 Catholic schools in the diocese are in that process. We're actually the first diocese in the United States to do this as a whole. There are individual schools that are doing, that are transitioning to a liberal arts or a classical curriculum. And it's really a movement in education right now. And so one of the things that we do hear from people is, you know, they've got reservations about Common Core, and they know that our bishop has taken a public position that we're not going to have Common Core in our schools. And so people will say to me, well, what's the difference? You know, I've heard this and that about Common Core. What's the difference? And I finally have condensed it into a kind of a short answer. And I said, you know, Common Core, really the goal, the stated goal of Common Core is to prepare students for careers and to prepare them for the workplace, which in itself is admirable. But we look at a much bigger picture, and we are preparing kids to become lifelong learners and critical thinkers and, you know, the inventors and the entrepreneurs and the people who really want to make a difference in the world and aren't going to be happy just saying, well, I want to do this job.
Now, as a Catholic school, then you still have the freedom to adjust the curriculum, when you adopt it, so that you're not forcing yourself or to be in any to compromise other teachings you may have in order to go along with what's in the curriculum.
Absolutely correct. Yep, we have that freedom because we are a non-public school. And we are accredited through the Michigan Association of Non-Public Schools, so there is an accrediting agency for all of the all of the non-public schools, and so we are still being held to high standards, but we have freedom because we are a non-public school.
What about teachers' requirements? Because we've seen, especially here in Michigan, where we have a lot of charter schools, mm-hmm. that in many charter schools the teachers don't have the qualifications to work in public schools. What about with Sacred Heart Catholic?
We have a little bit more leeway with that. I currently have two teachers on staff who have the education but don't have the teacher certification. However, as part of our accrediting process, we have to show that they are working towards receiving that teaching certificate. So there are still high standards that we are required to meet. But we do have a little bit of leeway where we can hire somebody and say, yep, we think you've got everything for this position. You've demonstrated that, and we're willing to let you have classroom experience and to bring your strengths into the classroom while you work towards certification. And that's been really positive for us.
And I ask that question because I actually do appreciate some of that leniency, because personally, my wife got her teaching degree in Florida from a Christian college. It was an unaccredited Christian college, and she taught for many years in public school in Florida, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, and then came to Michigan, and it wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. And so she did work for many years in child education, but she, to this day cannot teach because she would have to go back to school and re-earn a full new degree in order to get a teaching job. I just always thought that was something else, but she could teach at other places, but not in the public school.
Right, right. And it's nice for us to have that flexibility because I understand the reasoning for the rules, for the state, but I think that you have to take the whole picture into perspective, and it's nice that we have that opportunity to do that.
Well, this great week of events that you have coming up, National Catholic Schools Week, tell me about that. What do you have lined up?
Oh, we have all sorts of fun stuff lined up. We start off on Saturday the 28th. We have a big spaghetti dinner fundraiser. It's actually the 48th annual. I myself didn't realize it had been going on for that long. So that kicks everything off on Saturday. And then we have Mass on Sunday at church, normal Mass. And at that Mass, we pray for all of our parishioners. We thank our parishioners for all of the support that they provide to the school. All week long during school, our students normally wear uniforms every day, except for once a month. We have a no uniform today day, which is actually it's today. The kids were really excited to have no uniforms today. But during Catholic Schools Week, we get really crazy and they don't have to wear uniforms. There's a different theme for every day. So one day is Youper Day and one day is Backwards Day. There's a Patriotic Day and there's Pajama Day where they can wear their pajamas to school, which is always a big hit. And then one day is Read a Shirt Day. So they have to, whatever they're wearing, you have to be able to read the shirt. And I have a great shirt planned. I can't wait to surprise the kids with it.
I see a lot of kids wearing their pajamas every day to school.
And they don't get to do that at Sacred Heart unless it's Pajama Day.
I will say, as a parent, though, having them wear uniforms is such a huge blessing because there is no struggle in the morning about what you're going to wear. It's very clear what you're going to wear.
Yeah, and I understand the policy, too. And from my experiences, of course, there's going to be those kids that want to kind of wear whatever they want mm-hmm. to wear. But it does remove sort of that the stigma of who has the finest clothes. And plus, it also removes some of the things that don't qualify as clothing, and which amount to really just distractions. I remember my public school years. I mean, how many times was I made fun of because I didn't have Reeboks or, mm-hmm. or Nike or Fila shoes or whatever that was popular at the time, and but somebody else did, and you kind of remove all that, and it's really a roadblock to education. But I do understand people wanting to be free and express themselves as well.
We get one day a month to do that, Nut Day, they call it.
Yep.
So no uniforms today.
Back to our week, our events, we've got a couple of new ones this year. One of the things is we're doing a penny war. So every class has a piggy bank, and pennies are 1 point each. And so we want the kids to bring in their pennies, but then you can sabotage other classrooms by putting nickels or dimes in, and those are negative points. And so, you know, there's going to be this kind of healthy competition going on. And then at the end of the week, all of those proceeds are going to be donated to the Copper Country Humane Society. So it's a little bit of a service project at the same time that the kids can have a lot of fun with. We've got a couple other things. We're going to have pastries with parents on Tuesday morning and invite all of our parents to come in. We are going to have some Bible skits, so the classes will act out their favorite miracle from the Bible, and parents are welcome to come and see that. That's going to be first thing in the morning after morning prayer or after Mass, depending on which day it is. And then, like I said, we've got movie and pajama day on Thursday. And then on Friday, we're actually going to take a couple of hours in the afternoon and take all the kids ice skating, which is always a they really look forward to that. Some of us adults are a little bit, you know, we make sure we've got all the bandages, all the first aid supplies, but it's just a great afternoon for everybody. It's really a fun activity for the kids and the parents.
Are these, all of these events, are they mainly for the people that are going to school, or are they for the general public?
They're for the kids, they're for the people that are attending the school, and then we really open it up to family members to come in and participate. But at the same time, we like to get the word out, so if somebody's thinking about sending their children to our school, they're welcome to come in. I mean, obviously they're not going to see a normal school day during Catholic Schools Week, but it's a great opportunity for them to come in and meet teachers and see the classrooms and meet with me. I make myself available, you know, all during that entire week. So it is, it's open to the community in that sense.
As you said, it may not be the, you know, normal school day, but it does do a lot to, I think, alleviate some of the fears or myths. That, I think, was our topic last year when we talked about was the myths of Catholic school education. And we spent much of the time, you know, dispelling a lot of those things. And I thought we did a pretty good job. I certainly learned a lot about things that, you know, having never attended Catholic school, had heard of, you know, like, you know, the nuns with the big ruler sticks, you know.
That one always comes up.
So it is a good opportunity to come in and see things maybe a little bit relaxed. And then you can ask, okay, well, from here, you know, where do you take this, and what is a normal school day like?
Right.
And get, a clearer picture anyways of what goes on.
Right.
You only go up to eighth grade.
Correct.
So I know as a parent, my concern would be, well, when ninth grade comes along and it becomes that transition to go to public school, and you, you know, you'll be faced with this, mm-hmm. if you choose to send your kids to public school at that time, are they prepared to go into the public high school?
They are. In fact, I heard back from a couple of parents at the beginning of the year. They just wanted to report back to me what their children had earned, what their report cards were, and they were very, very well prepared for their experience in the public school. I think that because it's a smaller community, our kids have a lot of opportunities to make friends outside of school. So, you know, there's hockey and there are elementary basketball programs that are open to our kids. Our junior high students have the opportunity to attend band classes at the public school during the day. And they also, we have a cooperative agreement with them so that if they want to play junior high sports, they're allowed to do that as well. So it's not like the kids are walking into a brand new school and they don't know anybody and everything is brand new. You know, academically, they're certainly prepared and they've had other opportunities to make friends in the community as well.
I will say also that as the classes are getting larger, right now, like last year, we had maybe two or three students, maybe four students that went to the public mm-hmm. school after eighth grade. So there was just like a small group. But now as the classes get larger, there's going to be a larger group trying to integrate. So I think that that'll become, when my kids go through that, I think it'll become even easier. But I will say, I did teach a class last year on human sexuality, the Catholic meaning of human sexuality, which I think was really important for those kids going into that environment, because they're not going to get that type of teaching at the public school where we tell them about how beautiful human sexuality is in the eyes of God and how important it is, your faith. It's a gift from God and it should be sacred and holy and beautiful and not something to be repressed or distorted, which they're going to be faced with that, you know, coming from, you know, going into a secular environment.
Sure, there's going to be a few differences curriculum-wise and just how the normal day goes along. Certainly pop culture shock-wise, when you change environments like that. Mm-hmm. What do you hear back from the kids? As far as when you, mm-hmm. you said you hear back from parents, I'm sure you hear back from the kids. How do they feel the transition goes?
You know, the kids have been overwhelmingly positive, and we've seen over the years a number of alumni from Sacred Heart School go on to win awards at the high school level. Actually, last year, one of the young ladies, I don't remember, she received two huge awards from her school as a graduating senior. It's very common for us to see our students be valedictorians and salutatorians. So overall, I think that they have a really positive experience, and the kids who come back even after high school, and they're not kids anymore, you know, they speak really, really favorably and very fondly of their experiences at Sacred Heart School.
What changes or future plans do you have for the school that you'd like to see happen?
We are continuing to integrate continuing to transition to the classical curriculum. So that's a huge undertaking, and that we don't have the funds at the school level, and the diocese certainly doesn't have the funds to just hire a curriculum director and come in and say, this is what your curriculum needs to look like, and now go implement it. So we've been doing it in stages, and the language arts piece has been a huge piece of that curriculum. And so that itself is going to be completed at the end of this year. So we've been integrating different pieces of it, but the whole thing will be ready for the beginning of the next school year. A big piece of that is going back to primary sources, using trade books rather than, you know, textbooks that have condensed versions or abridged versions. Poetry and recitation are huge parts of that curriculum as well. So we're getting the children to read poetry, to start to understand the beauty that's present in poetry, but also to recite it. And even I was in the kindergarten and first grade classroom recently, and they recited a very long poem, and they did it so well, completely, you know, they had completely memorized it. And that's a big piece of it too, that when you develop children's memory skills, it just solidifies the foundation of their education. And if they, you know, I know there was a push in education probably back in the 70s, you know, we're not going to memorize rote memorization, but there is a lot of good that comes out of, you know, rote memorization in things like poetry, and developing that skill for kids to memorize things. And to hear them recite poetry is such a beautiful thing. So that's a big piece of it. We're focusing next on the science curriculum. And the history curriculum is pretty well in place too. So just continuing that, the other thing that we are hoping to do is grow our middle school. You know, certainly that's going to grow as those larger classes go forward. But you know, helping people to understand that this is a really great viable alternative to the public school if you're looking for something different. And then we have a young 5 kindergarten, so we can actually take students that don't meet that deadline, that birthday cutoff for kindergarten. A lot of kids in our area are ready for it because they've been in Head Start programs. And so having that young 5 kindergarten has been great. I was in there just yesterday, and they were spelling 4-letter words, which was, you know, that was a big thing. They had just moved from 3-letter words to 4-letter words, so that was really exciting. So continuing to expand that as well.
I'm sure one of the questions that many parents ask when they come to see you is, how do I pay for this?
Thank you for bringing that up, because that's one of the things that we're really committed to, is that nobody will be denied a Catholic education because of an inability to pay. So we've been really blessed with generous benefactors. We will do everything we can to work with a family. One of the questions that we ask on the registration form is, what can you realistically afford to pay per month? And then we can work, my bookkeeper is amazing, and she will work with the scholarship monies to come up as close as possible to that payment amount, so that nobody is feeling a financial burden for wanting to have this alternative to public education.
Are people able to use the voucher system, or like they can with charter schools? Are they able to apply any of that funding?
There is nothing like that right now. it's something that a number of states do have in place, but we don't in Michigan. So right now it is just through the scholarships and through the foundations that have given us money to use specifically for specifically for student tuition assistance.
If people want to know more about the different events you have for National Catholic Schools Week, or if they just want to know more about the school, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably the best way is to find us on Facebook. It's just Sacred Heart School, and obviously you will see lots of Sacred Heart schools come up, but if you find the one that's in Launce, there's a link to our website on there as well, which is sacredheartlaunce.org. You can call the school. I try to be available as much as possible. You know, we're listed in the phone book. So those are three really good ways to find us. And we try to put a lot of updates on Facebook on a really consistent basis. We recognize that that's just where people are. And so we put that stuff out there as much as we can.
Principal of the Sacred Heart Catholic School, Christine Miron, and a Sacred Heart Catholic School council member and also a parent with children in the school, Yohani Alcayejas. Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.